You're listening to this week's excerpt from the Dear Prudence podcast. To get the full-length members-only version every week, join Slate Plus at slate.com/prudypod. Listeners, I want to remind you that if you love podcasts, and even if you're merely indifferent to them, you still won't want to miss Now Hear This, a podcasting festival coming to LA this October. We'll be there for a live Dear Prudence on Saturday, October 29th, with all of the live and on-stage advice you could possibly want. You can see me live on stage, as well as more shows that you love, like The Canon, Comedy Bang Bang, Dinner Party Download, The Gist, Marc Maron, and The Moth. Step up to a VIP pass for meet and greets with your favorite hosts. Presumably this includes me. Sit up close in reserved seating, hang out in the VIP lounge, and more special perks. Tickets are on sale now for Now Hear This, October 28th through the 30th in Anaheim, California, just a short drive from Los Angeles. Get tickets and see the whole lineup at nowhearthisfest.com.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudy, do you think that I should contact him again?
Help.
Help.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Carvell Wallace, we can't get enough of you. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here once again.
We are just pleased as punch to have you here, and I'm really excited to just adjudicate all the problems of the world once again.
Let's fix everything.
Great. Let's start with this first letter, which is entitled Flavors of the Month and uses some sex negative language.
Okay, let's hear it.
I didn't alter the letter in any way, but I'm going to take issue with some of the words that they use. So here we go. With that in mind, Dear Prudence, my brother is a man whore. His love life is complicated to the point of needing footnotes. What is worse is that he lies to these girls and makes the rest of our family complicit in it. I'm tired of his dragging these random girls that we don't know to our family events like my nephew's christening or our grandparents' anniversary party. He often implies that the relationship is more serious than it really is to these girls and then outright drops them. Sometimes they find this out at our family events and shouting matches ensue. Our grandmother once called one girl by his former girlfriend's name, and a glass ended up getting thrown at somebody's head. Can I just ban him from bringing his girlfriends over? I know I'm not going to change his behavior, but I'm tired of the consequences spilling over into our lives. I know my sisters will back me up, even if my parents waffle, since my brother's the baby and the only boy, and it means that I have to be the hardline bitch here. No one else wants to step up to the plate, but I'm really tired of seeing this again and again. I want to know so much who threw the glass
this,
and at whom.
The level of drama at these people's family gatherings, I mean, this is serious.
Yeah, no, this isn't just like my brother dates a lot. This is like...
There's also unspecific numbering going on here, which is always a sign that the letter writer is like padding their case.
Mm-hmm.
Like often they're shouting matches, like mattresses?
Matches.
There are no, we want all the mattresses quiet. There are no shouting mattresses. Often they're shouting matches. And when someone says something like that, it's like my first thought is, how often? Is this like something that's happened 100 times? Or did it happen once and you feel like your case isn't good enough, so you have to be like, this happens all the time.
Yeah.
Every time we bring one of these floozies over, there's yelling and fireworks.
Because definitely, like, it's not great that somebody threw a glass. It also, I'm curious, like, did your grandmother genuinely not know this new girl's name? Or was she, like you, sitting in a lot of judgment about how often your brother dates new people and wanted to let this person know that she was not going to learn her name? Because
yeah.
Those are two really different scenarios, right?
Yeah.
One is like genuinely like, oh, shit, it's I'm 85. Her name's Jill. The last one was Krill. understandable mistake.
He was
and
dating
the other
a Star
one,
Trek character, obviously.
And the other one's a little bit like, I want to make a pointed remark because I think that my grandson dates too much.
Right, right. And like, I mean, we'll never be able to sort that out. But just going on what's in the letter, I think it's interesting that the letter writer brings up christenings and grandparents.
Right, those are two events.
It's just two events, but also as a way of making it seem like he's bringing his sordid lifestyle into the most innocent of places. Like
a child.
A child was here.
And a woman who's not married to my brother came and saw
right.
it.
What of the children? And so all that leads me, not that, okay, so there's two things here. One is that dating people and lying to them about how serious your relationship is and then hurting them.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's bad.
Sure.
Dating, sure.
Don't do that.
But on the other hand, it does make me wonder how much this letter feels to me less about, hey, my brother is sometimes hurtful to people that he dates and that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, my brother just dates a lot and I think he's slutty.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to go with, I don't think you should call your brother a man whore. I don't think you should call anyone a whore. I think that people who want to reclaim the word whore and who also do sex work and have like a vested political interest in so doing should do so. I don't think it's a pejorative that you should be throwing around at somebody else because you don't like the amount of sex that they have.
That's a really good point. Unless he's charging, in which case, more power to him.
But then again, that's his word, not the letter writer's,
yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
don't get to you
yeah.
don't get to lob that word at somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, I think in this, like,
The other thing, too, is, like, I know my parents are going to waffle because my brother's the baby and the only boy. There's a lot of resentment in this letter that has nothing to do with the fact that he dates a lot.
Maybe your parents are waffling because it's not a big deal.
Right.
As another possible explanation. There's a lot of explaining in this letter. There's a lot of explaining, assuming the reasons for other people's actions.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's also unclear, like, can you ban him from bringing girls over? No.
No. That's
no. And, like, how would
no.
you enforce that? Like, you can only bring girls to family events if you've been dating them for more than 4 months and you think you might be in love. Like, how do you?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, because the question here is, can you ban him from bringing girls over? Which the answer is obviously not unless you're willing to build a wall or enforce some kind of policy.
Right. Especially because, like, you don't own the family.
You can't do it.
You could say, like, if I'm hosting an event in my house, I'd like you not to bring a girl over if you think she's going to start a fight or if I know that you're lying to her about how seriously she takes your relationship. But that's a very different question than, can I ban my brother from bringing women that he's seeing to events?
Yeah. I think it doesn't, she also doesn't mention any, maybe she has no love at all for her brother.
Right.
But she doesn't mention any, like, relationship or sense of redeeming qualities or sense of, like, I don't want my brother to be engaged in this behavior because I don't think it's good and I want
right.
to support him and like
right.
getting better at it. So there's no, so like I would normally suggest like, maybe you should talk to your brother and say like, hey, I feel like if you look at it from the point of view of some of these women, it's not fair what you're doing to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the letter doesn't feel like it's about that. It really just feels like it's about, I don't like the fact that my brother dates a lot of different people
right.
and that we have to interact with him.
Right. And I just don't think that that's a problem. I think it's okay to date a lot of people. I think it's okay to date a lot of people casually. And if he is bringing people, like, it's definitely weird to bring a new girlfriend to a nephew's christening.
Yeah.
For sure. But
yeah.
if it's not a formal event where guests are counted, like if he's not crashing weddings.
Right.
Be polite. Be friendly. Don't worry about it. It doesn't hurt you in any way. The shouting matches are a little separate. Like if he's bringing somebody and getting to a huge screaming match about the status of their relationship. Yeah. Like you definitely have the right to say like, hey, this is really inappropriate. You're pulling focus away from like little Nathan here getting sprinkled with water. Can you take it outside? Absolutely. Like that's not okay. And you're totally within your rights to say something.
Yeah.
But to you want to come at him with these big guns. You want to not just address like occasional incidents of bad behavior. You want to be like, until you get into like a monogamous settled relationship, you don't get to come to family events. And that's not
yeah,
cool.
What's interesting is that she's not trying.
Or he. Oh no, the only boy. No, we assumed correctly
yeah.
this time.
Yeah.
I make a lot of assumptions about gender. I try not to, but this
yeah.
time we're right.
And what's interesting is that she's not trying to address a particular behavior, but rather legislate a lifestyle.
Yeah, no,
in this
literally
letter.
The sentence is, I'm tired of him dragging random girls that we don't know to our serious family events. Because the implication, right, is that these girls aren't serious.
Mm-hmm.
And that the people we know are good, the people we don't know are bad.
That's right.
It's okay to bring someone you're seeing casually.
Yeah, here's what it is. Your brother dates a lot of people. That's where he's at right now.
Yep.
You don't like it, but there's nothing wrong inherently with it. If that's one issue and you can't legislate that he shouldn't do that or hold some kind of like family event attendance hostage
right.
in order to keep him from doing that, a separate event is if the friends that he associates with are causing trouble at family events via fighting and plate throwing.
Yeah.
That's a separate event.
Super
and you can deal
appropriate
with that
to say that's not okay.
But to conflate the two issues like this is happening because he has a dating lifestyle in which he sees a lot of people. That's putting two things together that actually don't belong together.
Right. Yeah. And I don't want to come down too hard on you. I think it's totally okay to say, like, it really sucked that you brought someone that you were lying to our grandparents' party, and that things got so out of hand that presumably they started throwing glass. Mm. Although, if somebody in your family threw glass at the girl he's dating, that's real different.
That sounds like a whole different situation.
We don't know. It just says glass got thrown, which sort of makes me suspect that the letter writer threw it.
That's why I'm saying I feel like the language in this letter is super duper passive.
I know.
That's what it is.
It's
super passive. That's why I'm a little suspicious of the whole premise. And I think a lot of this is I hate to estimate.
Sure, we're reading a lot into this. We could be wrong.
My gut instinct is that a lot of this is the letter writer crafting a narrative to support a fundamentally a morality judgment about.
Right. Which has like one or two good points. Like, again, like lying's not okay. I don't know what you mean when he says he implies the relationship is more serious than it is. I don't know if what you mean is that, like, when he brings these girls around, he's like, this is my girlfriend. And you're like, no, it's not. He's going to break up with her in a few months.
Right.
Or if you've heard him saying, like, I intend to marry you. Right. And then later, like, scams on somebody else at the party. Like, there's a lot of possible behaviors in there that I just don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, I need to know who threw that glass.
Yeah.
Because if it was the guest, your case is stronger. If it was a member of the family or yourself, case is not so strong. Woo!
All right.
Yeah, don't call people whores, you know? Just let's...
It doesn't seem mandatory at all.
Somebody else's dating policies, like, as long as it is not hurting you in some way, it's not hurting you.
That's also the first sentence. So that's where we're starting with.
Right. Like, clearly that's the part that's closest to this letter writer's heart. Yeah. That's the thing she cares about the most is... Not my brother lies to women.
Yeah.
Not my brother brings guests who don't know how to behave.
Right.
Not I have all these family portraits of strangers that I don't recognize because he insists that they be included in our wedding photos. It's my brother's a man whore.
Yeah.
And you really get the message loud and clear, which is it's possible to have so much sex with other people that you become a different category of person. You're not just a person. You're a man whore.
Right.
And I think that that's something you should really look at in your own life.
Right.
And stop doing. You're making extra work for yourself.
Yeah. And I would also encourage the letter writer to separate that out from if his brother actually is like mistreats women and is like misogynistic in his dating.
Yeah.
That's a separate issue.
Yeah, that's super shitty.
Yeah, the two things are different though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm really glad that we got to make that distinction. And I hope that everybody who's listening, if you have a sibling who tends to date a little more casually than the rest, and sometimes they want to bring those people around, try to be nice about it.
Always use plasticware at family events.
That's the real lesson. Don't bring out the like good glassware and the china.
Don't do it. It's going to get thrown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clearly. All right. In a similar vein, would you like to read this next letter?
Sure. Best man is a former hookup. I am engaged to be married. I have a past, a really full past. Do you like that reading? In my single days, I loved Tinder, hookups, casual, whatever. I've had a lot of sexual partners, and I don't regret it at all. My fiancé Michael knows this and has no issues with it. He's got a past himself. But we are monogamous now and mean to stay that way. The trouble is that his best man is going to be an old college friend of his, Jack. Michael and I have been together for a couple of years, but I never met Jack. He's been living in another country for the past 3 years, but recently returned to the States. Yeah, it turns out Jack is an old hookup. We had a casual thing that lasted a weekend about 5 years ago. I had no idea. I'd seen pictures of Jack, but until we met again, the feelings of deja vu I had when I saw pics was something I just shrugged off. Now I need to figure out what to do. Jack doesn't seem to have a clue. I don't think Michael would be too upset by this, but I can't be sure. I know he wouldn't be thrilled that his fiancé/wife once slept with his best friend. I kind of just want to pretend I never recognized Jack. I think that as long as he never says anything, I'm pretty sure he has no idea we had a fling. I think it would be safe. Michael and I have vowed that the past is the past. But does that count when the past is going to be a part of the future? Because I don't want Michael to stop being friends with Jack. Thoughts? Help?
A part of me is a little bit concerned because this letter writer's not 100% sure that Jack remembers. Like, what if you've got the wrong guy?
Yeah, that is the first thing I thought, too. Like, are we sure that it's Jack?
Are we at 100%? Are we close to 100? Because if you're below 95, get confirmation.
Here's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. So that last sentence, or the second to last sentence about the past versus the future.
Sure.
Jack is going to be around.
Yeah.
He's back in the States now.
Yep.
So that means one of two things. That either means you have to clear this up now or
you have to take this to your grave. And I don't like advising people to take things to their grave.
I don't think you ever take it to your grave. I think that there is there another time that it's better to bring, not better, mm-hmm. but this is a rough one.
So this is just me.
Yeah.
I feel like based on this letter writer and her fiancé have a pretty good understanding of one another.
Sure.
They both seem like they're interested in being monogamous now.
Absolutely.
He's not going to come back at her with a lot of slut shaming.
Of course.
I'm sure he'll have like some feelings.
Yeah.
But I think she's safe saying to him like, hey, I didn't realize this until we met, but I just need you to know. I slept with Jack 5 years ago, and it was before we met, and I wanted you to know before we got married. Because if she tells him later,
but here,
and he looks back at their wedding, and he's like,
"So
you knew and you didn't tell me, and
right.
he was standing right there.
No, I get that. But here's the remaining question, though.
What's up?
If she goes to him before Jack does, mm-hmm. that puts Jack in a pretty shitty position.
Hmm.
Because then he's like, dude, you slept with my wife, and you didn't tell me?
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if Jack goes to him, then that puts her in a position. She's like, well, guess what I found out from Jack.
Sure.
And so.
But that doesn't mean she shouldn't tell
no,
him.
No, I'm not saying that. So the question becomes how. Do you think
she should give like Jack a heads up?
I think we both agree that she should tell him. I think the question is how.
Yeah.
You do have to say it. You can't. Oh, I think the one thing that we're clear on is that you can't take this to your grave. It's going to bother you every day.
Yeah.
Every time Jack shows up at a freaking party.
You'll feel.
Every time at barbecue. It's going to be there.
Especially
for you.
When like you didn't do anything wrong.
You didn't do anything
wrong. You
didn't
know your husband then.
No, right.
You've just realized this now.
Right.
I think that's an important thing to like. You are not confessing to having done something that is wrong.
Right. That's
you
right.
didn't know they knew each other.
That's right.
You didn't realize that was Jack like 6 months ago.
Right.
Like
right. The wrong action really only has the potential to begin right now.
Exactly.
The moment you don't say something to your. To the engaged party. I don't know what that's called. Fiance.
Do you think she should say, like, hey, Jack, I don't want to make things uncomfortable, but I just want you to know I realize we slept together and I need to tell my fiance before we get married.
I think she has to give Jack a heads up.
Yeah.
Because if she doesn't,
yeah.
Jack's going to be like, well, there's a variety of ways Jack could be like.
Sure.
But none of them are good. Mm-hmm. And so I think that she has to... I don't think she has to ask for Jack's permission.
Oh, God, no. No, this
like,
is a heads up, not
it.
A request.
Yeah, but it's like, look,
yeah.
It turns out. And maybe Jack will be like, what? We did what?
That's why I really
so.
Want her to get her confirmation.
Lady.
Because, like, what if Jack is
Lady.
Like, that was not me?
Lady.
I have an identical twin brother.
Right.
Some people do.
Yeah. So you have to, look, you're trying to begin a marriage on a foundation of honesty. Sounds like your husband is understanding that
yeah.
there's not a whole lot of.
You both know, like, you.
Yeah, you both are, yeah, you. The past is the past. That makes sense. People mm-hmm. do things, people have a good time, whatever. And I like that she's not even upset about her past. She's
yes,
not like,
good.
Oh, I just, like, had these terrible experiences.
Nope.
She's like, I was out there, I was getting it, I was doing it.
Having a great time.
You're having a great time. And now I'm ready to, like, kind of, like, pull the car in the garage, so to speak.
Yep.
And, but there's this one piece of unfinished business.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it. Tell your husband. But I think talk to Jack first and say, look, I know this is super awkward, but did we do the thing back in the day?
Don't ask the question. No, that's stupid
you
advice.
You have to ask. No, that's not true because how do you know? She's not 100% sure,
no, no, no.
I don't think.
That's what you.
And he's
okay,
not sure.
But then you don't ask. You say, Jack, no, this is a little uncomfortable. Really excited to like get to know you as a pal. 5 years ago, we slept together. I'm going to tell my husband about that. Thoughts? And then if he's like, we definitely didn't sleep together. I was on the moon at the time. You can take that information. But like.
Why not ask? I'm just curious about why.
I think just like sometimes people, mm-hmm. when faced with the prospect of an uncomfortable conversation, will deny things that happened.
You think the possibility that he'll lie, which will lead her to a whole nother advice letter.
Or just make him feel like she's asking his permission or puts her in the position. Like if she's convinced that they slept together. And then he says, no, we didn't. Then what does she do?
Is
go
she
to her
convinced?
Husband and say, I think we slept together, but Jax thinks we didn't, and I just wanted you to know? Like Schrodinger's
okay.
fuck?
Okay. Oh, my God.
Like,
that's not even the proper use. That's not
in
even the proper use of Schrodinger's.
Is the possibility that Jack and
no,
I did it.
No, that's not Schrodinger's fucks. Okay, I guess that's, to me, that's splitting hairs.
Sure.
I don't... She doesn't sound to me 100% sure. Actually, she sounds to me
Hang on. I'm rereading this because I'm trying to get confirmation. Yeah. It turns out Jack's an old hookup. We had a casual thing that lasted a weekend about 5 years ago. I had no idea. I'd seen pictures of Jack, but until we met, the feelings of deja vu I had when I saw his pictures was something I just shrugged off. That actually sounds more sure to me than I had thought on first blush.
It just seems weird that she knows.
It was a weekend. It wasn't a night.
It seems weird that she knows for sure and that he has no idea.
Well, I don't know that he has no idea. I think he just didn't do a big double like, well, what? When they met, where he was like, oh, we did it.
Right.
Like, he was just playing it cool, I think.
The one thing we agree on is that she has to tell her husband.
Yep.
And that she, or fiance, whatever. And that she, and I think that it's wisest to inform Jack of that.
Yeah, I think it would be nice. I don't think it's necessary to inform Jack.
I do.
Not because I think like he's going to get in trouble, because again, he did not know she would someday marry his friend.
I get that, but I also think
he also might not have recognized her.
Well, it's not about getting in trouble of that. I mean, there is that element, but there's also the element of like, he doesn't want to be blindsided with this information from his friend.
No, that's fair.
That puts him in a pretty shitty position.
All right, that's fair.
You know?
Yep. All right, so give Jack a heads up.
But don't ask his permission.
Give him the chance to let you know if he was like, no, I definitely like was on the moon.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't him. But also don't let him like talk you out of it. Just
No, you have to do it. Because this is about your relationship with your husband.
Exactly.
And you can't let Jack get in the way.
And then don't frame it as like, I have to tell you something. I feel really guilty. I did something wrong. Because you didn't.
No, you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, just
that's
be
exactly
like,
right.
Yeah. I'm a little embarrassed to tell you this because obviously like, I would not have.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah, it's a little awkward. But 5 years ago, I had a fling with your best man. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I recognized him, I wanted to tell you about it.
Yeah.
Let me know if you have questions. Obviously, I didn't even know he was out of the country. Like, we don't know each other.
Right.
I'm super interested in still marrying you and being monogamous. I just want you to know in case you need to, like, feel some feelings before
we get married.
Right.
No, that makes sense.
And I think he'll be good about it. I honestly think he'll be like, that's a little crazy, but ha-ha, like, we've all catted around.
Yeah, they seem cool.
Yeah, I think he's going to be cool.
All right.
All right. Ugh, so many engagement questions. I'm sorry.
I need to stop getting married. I feel this very strongly.
I'm going to have just like all non-marriage questions next week.
Yeah, can you have a show
and
where
don't let Carvel tell you not to get married.
Can you
married.
Have
get
a show where I
want.
Just come on and tell and break up everyone's marriage?
You one just by one. Told me. You just told me that it's too easy to tell people to get divorced as an advice columnist, that it's a big financial undertaking, that it's a business as well as a romantic relationship, and we should think really carefully before advising people to leave their marriage.
So don't get married at all.
You said
that's my solution.
But you just said you wanted to break up marriages.
Well,
you're changing your story.
Six in one hand, half dozen in the other. The point is, I like robbery and thievery, and I just want to do it to people emotionally.
Oh my gosh! Now I want to get Joanne the Scammer on the show.
Let's do it.
I wish.
All right.
I don't think I have that kind of pull. All right. Do you read the last one?
I did read the last one. No. Wait.
Did I?
What's oh
up?
No. You read the one that said man whore, which I was mad at because I wanted to read that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, would you like to read it?
Could I just do a live read of the word man whore?
I feel like you've said it a lot.
Okay. Yeah. We're done. It's in the box.
The
go ahead.
It's phrase.
You.
Okay.
It's you.
Dear Prudence, I'm engaged to a really great guy, Sam, and I come from a very traditional family. My dad has always made it clear that he'll never accept any son-in-law that doesn't ask for his quote-unquote permission to propose to me. My parents have the ability to hold grudges for years. I'm in my mid-20s, and I still regularly hear about the one time I was rude to my grandmother as a preteen. They live several hours away, so they don't know that we're engaged yet. Half the time, I just want Sam to call my dad and pretend to ask for permission, just to keep the peace. The other half of the time, I think the tradition of asking for permission is awful, and I want to snap a quick picture of the ring and send them a "We're engaged" text. Sam agrees that asking permission is stupid, but he says the final choice is mine, since they're my parents. What should I do?
Wait, are you asking, who's going to go first?
I'm going to say one thing and then I'm going to let you take over, which is, no, you should not have Sam ask for permission because here's why. If your dad said no, you and Sam would still get engaged. So that would be a really uncomfortable conversation if Sam called and said, can I propose to your daughter? And your dad said, no, you cannot. Because I imagine that would not stop the two of you from getting married. And then you'd have to have an even weirder conversation where you said, well, he didn't really mean that. We're still getting married because it's 20,016 of years.
That's an interesting scenario, but that strikes me as a fringe use case. That strikes me as something that's unlikely to happen.
I mean, you think somebody wants to be asked permission and doesn't at least on some level want to retain the right to say no?
I mean, I don't know what's up with this woman's dad, but...
To me, if you're the kind of guy who says, I want to be asked permission, you're the kind of guy who's like, I want veto power. I want to be able to say no.
Okay, he can say no. Here's what I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a question for what she should do. I think this is a question for what Sam should do. I think Sam should decide on his own. Just let me get through the answer.
I don't want to,
okay,
but I will.
Sam should decide on his own that he's going to call up this crotchety old fart and he's going to say, hey, man, can I have your daughter's hand in marriage, bro? And that the guy's either going to be like, why, sure, Sam, or eat a dick, Sam. And that's going to be the end of their relationship. And then Sam is going to say, I respectfully decline to take your advice. I love her. I'm going to marry her. And that's the end of that. And I think that that's better than because at that point, here's the thing, like, out of respect for when you marry someone, you're marrying into their family. And you have to take into account, not all, you don't have to like honor everything, but you have to take into account what is important to that family that you're marrying into.
I hate it when I disagree with you so much and then you start giving information that kind of makes your point make sense.
And if this is important to this person's dad, one of the ways that Sam shows that he cares for her, he cares for her family, he cares for his new in-laws is by honoring this tradition, which we all agree is dumbass. And by showing up to do it, it makes him uncomfortable. I get that Sam is uncomfortable with it. I get that Sam is afraid, but I feel like Sam should do it. And if the father says no, then I think Sam has every right to say, old man, I respectfully disagree. And I love your daughter and I'm going to spend the rest of my life with her.
All right. Point. Counterpoint.
Okay.
Which is this daughter. It's not Sam's responsibility to, like, figure out how she should relate to her parents about this. And
no.
She's already made it clear. I think the tradition of asking permission is just awful. Like, she hates this.
Right.
And I think regardless of whether or not you were getting engaged, you should tell your parents that. You should let them know. Like, you are an adult. You live several hours away. And you should say, Mom and Dad, I love you. I don't agree with this tradition. If I ever get married, I'm going to make the final call. I don't want someone to ask you for permission. It makes me feel like you get to make my choices for me, and I don't want that. And I think that that's on her to say to them. And she should, frankly, have said it regardless. She should say it regardless of whether or not she was going to get engaged to Sam.
I agree. I agree that that's hers to say.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, that's a different question than what – because what Sam should do in this situation is help – his fiance through this difficult situation by like basically not putting the whole, because right now it's on her to decide whether or not Sam should do this thing that her father's asking. I don't think it should be on her to decide whether or not Sam should do this thing the father's asking.
I think
Sam should take the bullet here, do the uncomfortable thing, right? So that the father is satisfied to whatever extent he can be. And it's sort of like, You do this for people that you love. You say, look, here, how can I help you? This is a difficult situation for you. I see that it's difficult. I see that your dad, because obviously if she was 100% against this, she wouldn't have written in. She's written in because there's a part of her that like doesn't want to go against her father's wishes. Not necessarily because her father is like some terrible controlling person, but because she's like.
She doesn't want a headache.
Well, maybe, but then...
Well, she says they hold grudges for years.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes me feel like, why do you even want them around?
Because obviously that's not all that their relationship is. It's not just like, it hasn't been like 25 years of grudges. It's also been like a few...
It's been 10 years of grudges.
It's been a few trips to the mall in the interim and a couple of birthday parties.
I don't know.
This is this person's
parents.
She
says she still regularly hears about the time that she was rude to her grandmother as a preteen.
Okay, but you know how families have stories. Right?
Sure.
So that doesn't necessarily mean that every time her parents open the door, they're like, oh, look, it's the chick who was rude to grandma back in 1990. You know what I mean? Like, it could just be that it's annoying to her. And every time they sit around, they tell their story about it. And everyone, you know.
To me, the key of this letter is the last two sentences, which is that she is torn in half. Half of her wants to just go through the motions and make Sam do the emotional labor that she doesn't want to do, which I think is a little cowardly. The other, I had to do like a shushing motion, which did not make me feel cool. And the other half is she wants to do something really passive aggressive, which is send a text.
Yes.
Which I think almost any parent with like any sort of reasonably close relationship with their child would be upset to find out they were engaged via text.
Her text plan is some bullshit.
So, yeah. So it's like either you make Sam do it for you or you send them a text. And I think both of those are a little bit cowardly. I don't think you're a bad person. I don't want to.
No, I'm sorry I sushed you. Not at all.
But like those are two not great options. And I think you should at least consider what would it look like if I called my parents and I said, Mom and Dad, I'm engaged to Sam. I love him and I'm really excited to be getting married. And maybe they'll respond by saying, great, we're excited. And maybe they'll say, why didn't he call and ask for permission? And then you get the chance to say, because you don't actually have the right to decide who I do or don't marry. I make that decision for myself. And I don't agree with that tradition.
Yeah.
We decided together to get engaged.
Yeah, I mean...
Otherwise, you're starting the engagement off with this assumption that your dad, like, owns your choices.
But he's not really doing that.
But if he's getting his way, then isn't it, like, functionally as if he does?
This is why I don't think she should be like, Sam, you got to call my dad and ask permission. I think, and this isn't what the question asks, but mm-hmm. I just keep looking at Sam like, bro, just do it. Just, like, jump in there. And like offer to do this piece of the work for her so that she can focus on like this other more complicated,
long-standing
relationship
parents.
That she has with her parents.
No, I think if you like, and here's the deal too, is like if you start out by fake asking for permission, then like what are you going to do when your dad insists on like...
No, it's a tradition though. It's not actually asking for permission because...
But this is not a common tradition. Like most people don't do this nowadays.
Not anymore, but it's like the father still walks people down the aisle, right?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. It's a tradition. It doesn't necessarily...
But that's like a common mainstream tradition. Calling someone's dad to ask for permission is not.
That is not that unusual. That is not some crazy, like, weird culty thing.
Have you done it?
Have I called to ask? No. What? Huh? What?
I was wondering if, like, when you got married, did you call her dad and ask?
Do you really want to know the answer to that question?
Yes, I do.
He was dead, so no. How do you feel now? You like that? You want a piece of that?
I feel chagrined. I feel chagrined. I don't know.
But
I object
to that point.
This very
No.
Idea.
But to that point, actually, I did meet him once before mm-hmm. he died, before he passed. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with him where I was like, look, I have these feelings for your daughter. Mm-hmm. And I would like to like live a life with her. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make my intentions clear to you.
Sure. I think having a great conversation with people who are related to someone you want to get married to is great, super different from calling someone's dad.
And to me, it felt like the same idea. It's like you're showing some respect mm-hmm. for this person. And it doesn't mean, but like if he had been like, get the hell away from my daughter, I would have been like, well, that sounds like a you problem.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, that sounds like a you problem, good sir. But I think that I don't know where this father's coming from. Mm-hmm. I'm throwing out the possibility that what it is for this father is a matter of tradition, which doesn't make it right.
Sure.
But not necessarily terrible. And that one really easy way for Sam to be helpful here is just to go do it. And kind of like mollify this dude mm-hmm. and kind of have this difficult conversation. And then it doesn't put the daughter in the position of having to decide what everyone's going to do.
Sure. I think I would be more sympathetic to your position if I felt like in her letter, there was a part of her that said, I know it's kind of silly, but I actually like this tradition. But she doesn't. She hates it.
Right. So which is why she shouldn't be the one deciding whether or not it happens.
We're going to have to agree to disagree, I think. Is where I think we're going to ultimately have to fall on this. I really think that she should just tell her parents, and you think Sam should give it a try.
I think Sam should. I don't think she should be the one that has to tell her parents, I'll do it even if she hates it, because she shouldn't have to do something she hates. But it's not up to her to do it. Mm-hmm. It's up to Sam to like offer this courtesy as a way of like dealing with like a difficult father who, by the way, is going to be your father-in-law. So this guy's going to be in your life.
Hard disagree.
Okay.
Oh, that was good. We haven't fought like this in a while. This was our first genuinely we could not come to an accord. We are parting ways here. We are going to leave this studio and never talk again because we'll never be able to see eye to eye about this. That's not true. I'm really excited that we got to disagree. Thank you for fighting me. And I'm sorry for making a shushing motion with my finger.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for listening to Dear Prudence, especially today. Our producer is Casey Miner. Our theme music was composed by Robin Hilton. Steve Lichtai is the executive producer of Slate Podcasts. And Andy Bowers is the chief content officer of Panoply. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and write us a review. Reviews help new listeners find the podcast, which means more questions and more answers.
And they also help my ego when you mention me directly.
I did not know until Casey told me that Carvel was the only person who had been mentioned by name.
The people have spoken.
In the reviews on iTunes.
The people
have
spoken.
I don't know what they said. Assuming, based on the look on Carvel's face, it was clearly positive.
It was good things.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah.
Apparently the people can't get enough of Carvel Wallace.
Yeah.
So that happened. Just search for Slate Dear Prudence and stop saying nice things about Carvel on my show. Get your own show. Get your own podcast, Carvel.
Done.